welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
Joseph Goebbels, head of the Nazi propaganda, listen to this really carefully. A lie told once remains a lie, but a lie told 1,000 times becomes the truth. Deception is 99% truth, 1% of a lie. I'm going to show you a wee clip now. There will be popcorn and beverages passed out down the aisles. This wee clip is going to show you how the Allies use propaganda to turn the Second World War in our favour.
April 1943. A body was dumped at sea off the coast of Spain. It was dressed in British uniform. Attached to his belt was a briefcase crammed with top-secret invasion plans.
The secret documents were, of course, false, designed to hoodwink the Nazis. And that's exactly what they did.
The body was found by fishermen, and the decoy invasion plans were soon in German hands. The deception was so convincing that Hitler was fooled into believing Greece was the Allies' invasion target, leaving the real target of Sicily vulnerable.
Operation Mincemeat has been hailed as the most successful wartime deception plan ever attempted. It saved thousands of lives, but very little is known about its silent hero.
Examining the body, Nazi spies were convinced he was the high-ranking Major William Martin, but they were wrong.
The planners of Operation Mincemeat had worked out that if they could convince the Germans that this was a real character, that they would be that much more likely to believe what was in his briefcase, all these fake documents that they'd made. So they created this completely false personality, this person who'd never existed. And here he is, William Martin of the Royal Marines. And there's his identity card.
And who's the picture of?
The picture is of an MI5 officer who just happened to look a bit like the dead man. Here you have his watch, his cigarettes, his keys. But the tour de force, really, was the creation of a love life for him. So here they have Pam. She was actually a secretary in MI5, whose photograph was thought to be just kind of saucy enough to put in his wallet.
Wonderful.
And then we've got a completely bogus receipt for a diamond ring costing £53.10.6.
He's a generous man. I'm not surprised. She's a beautiful woman.
Absolutely. I mean, these are the love letters that he's carrying on his person when he's found.
That lovely golden day we spent together. Oh, I know it's
been said before, but if only time could sometimes stand still for just a minute.
So beautiful.
Isn't it?
I've got this funny mental image of a leather trench coat wearing Gestapo officer reading this out.
That's exactly right. But this was the kind of grain and the grit that actually convinced them that, yes, this had been a living, real person.
Although the body appeared to be that of a rich and well-loved hero, the reality couldn't have been further from the truth. It was, in fact, Glyndŵr Michael, a vagrant from Treallor in South Wales.
Now, this is the house where Glyndŵr Michael lived with his mother at the start of the war. Not just his mother, but his sister and a brother, all crammed into one tiny room.
Is it this one here?
Yep, it's this one here. Now, this was originally divided into two rooms, but there were four of them in here. That would have been the bedroom at the end and the sort of living area in here.
Four people in this space?
Yeah. They lived in conditions of absolutely extraordinary poverty. They had absolutely nothing.
And there was no father to help bring in money?
No. Here we have the only evidence of Glyn Michael's signature, and it's on his father's death certificate in Angleton Mental Hospital. And it appears that Glyndŵr Michael himself may also have suffered from mental illness. His mother died in 1940, and he sort of slipped through the cracks. There was no one to look out for him, and so he wound up destitute, homeless, and really desperate. He was found having poisoned himself with rat poison in a disused warehouse in King's Cross. This shows this young man, he was 34, on a mortuary gurney, dressed in British uniform, just before he's about to set sail on Operation Mincemeat.
Amazing.
Glyndŵr Michael was the perfect hero for Operation Mincemeat. He was a nobody, and nobody would miss him.
Did anyone anyone ask permission from his nearest surviving relatives to actually use his body?
There's no evidence that anyone asked anybody's permission to use the body. It was simply expropriated for a wartime operation.
Operation Mincemeat played a vital part in the successful invasion of Sicily. Just 2 months later, Mussolini had fallen and Italy had surrendered.
An unknown vagrant had helped to change the course of World War II. In life, he'd been abandoned by his country, but in death, he'd done Britain proud.
No, it's as clear as mud, isn't it? That's how we use propaganda. The guy, keep an eye on this bottle of water, because it's mine, and it's just going to sit there. He was a vagrant. Nobody knew him, but MI6 basically got all the info. They'd been planning that for years, and the Germans totally believed every single piece of propaganda that had been put on his body, and completely moved whole tank brigades, everything over to defend that part of Europe. And it really, really opened up. It opened up the Second World War. And never, ever, ever be intimidated about sharing the word, because I'd thought about this for such a long time. And when I was actually delivering mail, I walked into the charity shop, and sitting for 40 pence on the shelf was the book Operation Mincemeat, written by that author there. One of the guys was the author. And all the details that you would have needed. But to go into this here, Satan is a master of propaganda. He's been doing it for a long time. In John 8:44, you're of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees here. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. He is a liar and the father of it. Whenever we go over into Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word wiles means cunning devices and methods, propaganda. What Satan will do, God has completely finished everything that he's ever going to do for us. Everything is complete in Christ. There are no seasons in God. God is a constant. The only seasons are in us as we fluctuate from the spirit into the flesh and the spirit into the flesh. The word of God is the spirit and it is life. And once we then get to the place in our lives that we marinate ourselves, and you have two separate entities, all you ladies and gents that cook, and you marinate them together, you can't separate them. They're one and another. There's just two things become that one. Whenever you meditate, whenever you use that word, and you renew your mind to the word of God, Satan is literally terrified. Not only do you take back the kingdom in your own individual life, but you then become a threat, because that truth that you now know, truth in your head is in your head, but truth in your heart completely changes you. And everywhere you go, not only can he not touch you in that area of that word that you have become part of you, you then can minister and set an example for other people and help them. And bit by bit by bit, the word goes out and situations can change. Of course, we can sit here and we can sit and go, you know, it's easy to say that, it's easy to say this. What was your focus during praise and worship? Was your focus what the word says, that he inhabits the praises of his people? That with eyes closed and hands raised, we're focusing on Father, we're focusing on his character, we're focusing on what he's done and who he is. The Word of God is the Father, it is the Son. Or was the propaganda coming up in our head saying an issue, a circumstance, something that's literally taking your focus off him. Whenever we can understand that we can walk in the rest of God. The rest of God is not, when Father finished creation, it says, and on the Sabbath day he rested. That didn't mean that he was tired. It meant that it was finished. It was done. And what he's waiting on now is he's waiting on us catching up to find out what he has done, who we are in him, and what we have. And once we catch up in that, that's whenever everything's done. Hold on to your seat a wee second here. The next spoken word of God will be face to face. The next spoken word of God, because he said it all. He's given us everything in his word. Everything that we need that leads to life, and godliness is in his word. And it's catch up time for the church. It's catch up time for us. And whenever you got saved, your spirit was completely renewed. And you're, like I said before, 100% Holy Spirit. But your mind is still running on the program of your old man. You're going to respond, you're going to react, you're going to behave in the ways that you used to. But as you spend that time finding out, this is what Father says I am. This is who Father says I am. And this is says what Father says what we have in him. And as you meditate on that word, you're priming that pump so that all of a sudden what happens is that you, a situation, you can't stop the birds flying over the top of your head, but you can stop them making a nest in your hair. So you cannot control every situation and circumstance, but pastors used to say it a long, long time ago, do you respond or do you react? Because you know that when you're hitting him, that you know it's settled. There is no situation, there is no weapon, there is nothing that can come up against any one of us in this life that Father has not made a provision for and has not already given you in your spirit. And propaganda will try and steal that away from you. It will try to steal that away from you and basically, you can't, you have not, you have this. Why, oh why, oh why do we always go into the spirit? Healing, for instance, we thank you, Father, that by his stripes we were healed 2,000 years ago. We decree it, we say it, and then where do we go automatically? And the just shall live by faith and not by sight. We automatically go, I have a sore head. By his stripes I am healed, the spirit. Then we go straight into the flesh to find out if we still have a sore head. Where we walk by faith, that anagram of faith is full assurance in the heart. You meditate on that word, you change that, and eventually it'll come to such a thing that you can be walking through your day and things will present themselves, things will come up, and without even thinking about it, you'll just go, a pain? It might come, but don't even open that door. I'm not giving you the time of day. Let God be true. And every man a liar. Amen. God's so good. So, so good. So good. Has anyone here ever experienced God the Father? Thank you for that thunderous silence. They just shall walk by faith. But the word of God is the truth. Agreed? Graham doesn't have this one. Breathe in right to your diaphragm to the count of four. And then breathe out. Genesis 2:7. And God created four man out of the dust of the earth, breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and man became a living being. And what happens whenever we go home to being with the Lord? Our breath leaves our body. And what, everybody here has passwords. What is the password to the kingdom? Emmanuel. God with us. And he's with us to the measure that you have spent that time finding out, like we said before, who exactly you are. You are, listen to that, you are the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are the very righteousness of God. We can run into heaven, kick open the pearly gates, beat any devil, any angel that tried to stop us, jump on the Father's lap and give him a hug and say, I'm home. We have that right through Christ. That's what he's done for us. And the reason that Jesus, as we know, had to leave this earth was so that the Comforter could come. Jesus had to leave so that the Holy Spirit could be poured out on all flesh. He wasn't reproduced enough. He was poured out in all flesh. So now we have the power. We have that dunamis power, but our mind is still going over the same things. How many, we're all sort of physical athletes here, how many people know that you were maybe slightly overweight before you got saved, and after you got saved you're still the same? Nothing changed on the outside. Everything changed on the inside. But Satan, with his propaganda, with his lies, with his deceit, and remember, deception's 99% of the truth, 1% of a lie. He will actually present you this thing that you think this is the truth, even the word out of context, as we're going to see just now, to try that one thing he does, don't let them. Persecution and affliction comes because of the word's sake. He cannot afford to let you know what you have, who you are, and what you can do. It's all about Father. It's all about him. Is it getting clearer? Excellent. The temptation of Eve. Genesis 3:1-3. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, because God knows that the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, men, don't let your women shop, because they just said, and that handbag really looks good on my arm. So she saw it was good. She walked past this tree every day. But he came in and he just went, has God said? There's the first, has God said? And it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. She took of it and ate, and she also gave it to her husband with her. And he ate, and the eyes of both of them were opened. And they knew that they were naked, and sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. There's the deceitfulness of it all. God had spoken to Adam. God had given Adam that instruction, what to do. He then went to Eve with that deception. And Eve then went, yeah, that is a really nice apple, whatever it was. Many people don't like apples. And took him the fruit. Since then, Satan has been using propaganda to discredit everything God says. An example of propaganda, Numbers 13, the spies sent into Canaan, verse 33. Listen to this so carefully. The greatest enemy that you have is between your ears. It's yourself. It is yourself. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and we were in their sight. So the children of Israel had actually visually seen this, the giants. Then up comes that image, up comes that propaganda, up comes that lie, and they then spoke it out. But we can't do this. We're like grasshoppers in there. And then they'd only seen them from a distance. And then they cursed themselves saying, not only are we like grasshoppers in their eyes, in our eyes, but we are in theirs too. They had completely defeated themselves. So a whole generation died in the wilderness. And only two people who were of a different spirit went into the promised land. Matthew 4:1-10, Jesus, where do you see this? Brilliant. Satan tempts Jesus. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. We think we're having a hard time when we have situations. Jesus physically was led into the desert after fasting for 40 days. He hadn't eaten for 40 days. We think it's bad if on the way out we've reversed over the kit and it's raining. Or this isn't a really good day, you know what I mean? I've stubbed my toe on the chair getting out of the bed in the morning. But Jesus was in a physical condition. But this specifically was using that in this example, it just shows you the power of God in Christ here. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, classic, "It is written." Bang. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." That's you. Your tongue and your mouth is God. The word in your spirit coming up and decreeing that thing is the change agent in any situation. But we'll automatically go at the last minute, and it doesn't happen because we're walking in the flesh and not by sight. We decree the thing. That will be to establish for us that light may shine on our ways. And then we move on in that peace. We're calming ourselves down. We've decreed the thing. Can't see it. I can't feel it. I can't taste it. I can't touch it. But God's word is the final authority in this situation. And that's when we then, that's where you labor into the rest of God. That rest, like we said before, it's finished. It's done. There is no problem he hasn't dealt with. When he created Adam and Eve in the garden, he didn't create them at the start of creation or they wouldn't have been able to breathe, have heat. He created them whenever the garden was completely finished. Then he put them in it so that they had everything. This world, this creation has everything in it. Every single need met, every disease cured, every problem that you've ever had has already been an answer to it, and the answer is in your spirit. But when you renew your mind and you know what Father says on it, and you know you've already got it here, you can walk out in it, not basing on what you see, but basing on what God's word says. And we're continuing on here. Do you see the way it goes up a gear? That's the Holy Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit. And we hear this here. This is brilliant. "Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down.'" Listen, "for it is written." Who said that? Satan just quoted the word back to Jesus. He just then turned around and went, "For it is written, 'He shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.'" So there, Satan, who was the anointed cherubim in the heavenlies before he sinned against God and was cast down on into the earth, he has just taken scripture and actually turned it back on the very Son of God. What a deception. And then Jesus said, "It is written again, 'You shall not tempt the Lord your God.' Again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me.' And Jesus said to him, 'Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and him only shall you serve.'" James 4:7. Here's the key. God is not going to ask you to do, any of us to do something that he has given you the power and authority to do yourself. James 4:7. This is what Jesus just did there. He just told Satan to take off. "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and him only shall you serve." James 4:7. "Submit yourselves to God, therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you." That word resist means to actively fight against. And what do you actively fight against them with? The word. known, and it's known, and you could preach scripture all day long. Look what he just did there when he tempted Jesus Christ. He actually repeated the actual word back to the Son of God, who is the Word, and said, you know, cast yourself down, sure the angels will bring you. It's written, it says this. And Jesus then used the Word of God out of context. Jesus knew that Word, he was the Word. But Jesus, Satan basically went, you know, just throw yourself off here. God's going to be okay. You know what I mean? Hey, I can go down this load without my seatbelt on. I'm blessed. Nothing's going to happen to me. Hey, I am doing 65 under the flyover where it says 40. I'm the righteousness of God. Nothing's going to happen to me. Hello. Good evening, sir. Do you realize? You can be as righteous as you want, and you can have as much power and ability, but see when you break the natural law. There you go. Romans 12, 1-2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You probably know this one anyway, but you know what that word transform means? That is a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. Completely new creation. And it is in your mind. It's not that I will be transformed from a size 15 to a size 9 overnight. It's basically, it's your mind. And don't take your eyes off that water, because that water's mine. You still want that water, don't you? Here we go, Mark 11, 22, 23. We're overloading in scriptures here today, but it's the truth, and it's the Word, and it's just Father. So Jesus answered to them, have faith in God. This is when Jesus was just about to go into the city. And propaganda. Be sensitive enough. When you know the Word, it'll always come back to you. Father, the Holy Spirit will always remind you. I was actually out yesterday delivering mail, and this just came up to me. It was just God. It was just funny. But be conscious that Satan can use it too. So you've got to know your right, your position, and the right way the Word's used. And it was this scripture here. Jesus is going in and he's hungry. And afar off he sees a fig tree. And you know what happened. Detoured off. Went to get the figs. There's no figs on it. Cursed a fig tree. Such and such. That fig tree was propaganda. Because the fig tree was full bloom. Had all the leaves. And whenever you've seen the leaves on the fig tree, that's a sign to say, there's figs here. But Jesus' face was set like flint. He wasn't going to waste any time. He was on a journey. He was there to fulfill the will of the Father. So this thing starting off, shaking its leaves and going, yeah, here I am, come here. And that's why he cursed it, because it was perverse. It was not actually it wasn't doing what God had created it to do. I believe that that fig tree actually grew there specifically to give Jesus, at that minute in time, the food that he needed. But it was perverse. It was not, as like we said, as what Father had created it to do. It was propaganda, taking him off his directed path. And this is where Jesus had said to him, afterwards, they went into the city, they came out the next day, and the disciples were walking out past the same fig tree, and obviously they were a bit startled, because they were going, Lord, Master, look, the fig tree has shriveled up from its roots. Roundup was not the first weed killer that destroys from the roots to the leaves. It was in the Word of God. God always operates in the unseen realm, which was the roots. And we all know, if everybody loved, who plants the weeds, who tends the weeds, nothing, they just grow. But the only way to get rid of them is from the roots. When you get rid of that root, that's the whole thing destroyed. And then it cannot, because the seed is in itself, multiply, and then you have more weeds. Jesus then turned around, so the disciples were probably amazed at this, going, Father, Jesus, Master, look, the fig tree's dried up from the roots. And what did Jesus, I don't even think he hesitated. He just went, have faith in God. In different translate, that would say, have the faith of God. See what I mean? Find out what it means. Find out what it said. Have the faith of God. We all have the measure of faith. And do you know what faith is? Our response to what God has already done. in us. It's trust. Full assurance in the heart. It's just trust. Total trust. Do you actually think God needs our tithes? Boy, yous are active. I should get a defibrillator for the church. Right. He doesn't need our tithes. What is the purpose of us giving? So God can give back to us. It's trust. God does not need. There's more money printed now in this world than the world can even spend. Tithing and giving is trust. And once you release that, and the propaganda jumps up and goes, you shouldn't have. The Bible actually talks more about stewardship than it does about giving. The ant gathers in the summer for winter, vice versa. But at the end of the day, there's the propaganda. Something coming up again because we haven't renewed our mind. You don't know what that, you don't, I know, but God does. And God knows what you needed even before you needed. And let me tell you something, he knew it 2,000 years ago. We're constantly trying to shake the tree and get God to move. God has moved. He is waiting on us. He's waiting on us. I can't say it enough. To renew our mind, to know who we are, what we have, and move out in it, but not based in the flesh, in faith in the Spirit. Have faith in God, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things what he says will be done, will have whatever he says. That word doubt means to hesitate and to draw back. We hesitate, we draw back, doubt. There's the propaganda. It stole the word right from your very mind. You think, and then we speak. But then we hesitate and we draw back. And it's all because we just hadn't renewed our mind to that specific area in our lives. It's so good that don't take your eyes off my water. It's my water. Nearly finished, folks. Short, sharp, and sweet. There's not a problem that you have that we have. There's not that he hasn't given you the answer to. It's in our spirit, and we need to draw it out of our spirit. Who prays in the spirit? And when we pray in the spirit, we're speaking the direct will of God. It's in our spirit. Then what does it say? It says, come and pray also that you interpret it back in English. So we're praying in the Spirit. We know that when we pray in the Spirit, we're speaking the very will of God. We know it because that's our whole motivation for starting to pray in the Spirit. Then when we start off in that journey, then we're praying, Father, I thank you that I am praying the very will of you in this area in my life. Or in someone else's life. And I know that you've already given me the answer to this problem or to their situation or problem. And it's in my spirit. And I now, in the name of Jesus, pray that out in English. And this is what he's promised to do. Ever lose anything? Try that one. Ever lose anything you need? And it's going to take time, and your propaganda, fleshy, carnal mind will basically be shutting you down and getting you to doubt, to draw back, not to do this. I haven't got this. I haven't got that. You break it, but you will already have it if it's in your spirit. It's so easy to receive something whenever you know you've already got it. You've already got it in your spirit. That's why when we bow our heads to look down, we're looking in God in us. Not up. God is in us. The Holy Spirit, the third part of the Trinity, lives and abides in us. But Satan doesn't care if you're just wandering around day to day, not knowing what we have and how we can deal with these things. This actually had such an effect in me, not that I'm boisterous enough in work, and I have to work on this one too, is that one of the guys around him went, I actually don't talk now. I'm actually sort of listening twice as much as I speak, because it makes you realize that as you're going through each day and a situation comes up in front of you, because we're still working in our carnality, we will speak out what we see. We will speak out what happens. I'm no good at this. I can't do this. I'm this. I'm that. Instead of now, what I'm understanding is that you're now starting to, you really do understand that you will have whatever you say. And that scripture, it's bypassed me at the minute, but need to minister on that one. Sin lies at the door and waits. And I honestly believe that that door is your mouth. You're walking along, you're having your day, no issues, and then all of a sudden an issue comes up. The car breaks down, and we slip into carnal mode and start verbally abusing the car and kicking the tires and don't think anything of it. So we've reacted instead of response. Sometimes I find myself, I'm walking along. God is always going to speak to you in your place. Everybody has a place. Everybody has a place where you just know whenever you're there that Father will talk to you. And impressions will come. The word will come. And you know that you know that you know that it's Him. Very briefly, you know there's two kinds of no in the Bible. And it's in that passage, I was sharing this with Pastor over a couple of weeks ago, in the Seven Sons of Sceva, when basically this guy watched Paul delivering people, went, okay, I can do this. So he and his carnality, not being saved, basically decided to deliver this guy. So cut a long story short, in the name of the God that Paul preaches, come out of him. So the demon in the man beat them all up and stripped them all naked. Really made a show of them. Whoever want to be in the deliverance ministry, make sure you know who you are and what you have. You see this, you can see the paper, naked postman walking around very banger. But he basically went, you know what he said? The actual demon there was Satan. Again, we talked about Satan tempting Jesus. The actual demon spoke to them and went, Jesus, we know. And Paul, we know. But who are you? And do you know what that no means? That no means recognized authority. So basically, they knew Jesus because Jesus basically took them apart wherever he went, cast them out, set people free with the word. He was the Son of God. Paul did exactly the same. So at the end of the day, what happened was that the other no is that Adam knew his wife Eve. That there means intimate relationship. And it says, and that they that know their God shall do mighty exploits in his name. So we can get into this here. To know God, to know the word. It's not, if God needed to, he could probably get the nearest dog. Well, I can't say anything about dogs being a postie, but if he needed to, he could probably get a dog to speak to you to get your attention. But the one thing that we have is the word. But we need to get the word from here to here. And we're 3/4 of the way there. We have our spirit, our soul, and our body. And our spirit, one third of us is wall to wall God. And whenever you get your mind, do you agree? Your flesh doesn't have hope, because 2 against 1. I'm going to tie up here. Romans 4:19-21. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. Neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Here is how you know about unbelief. Remember, doubt is to hesitate or draw back. Abraham basically had been promised an heir. And in the natural, God had showed him the stars, showed him the sand on the seashore, showed him everything. His wife was barren. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He staggered not. He was 100 years old. His wife is barren, Sarah. God had made him a promise. Everything in the natural, every piece of false information, every bit of propaganda had basically told him, this isn't going to happen. And he had an opportunity to draw back, to hesitate. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, full assurance in the heart, faith. Listen to this. And being fully persuaded that what he has promised, change it, Old Testament, New Covenant, us now, he had already performed. Old Testament here, he was able to perform. God's done it all. Every T has been crossed and every I has been dotted. Father, I'm just going to close in prayer, but don't forget that water. Father, we just thank you for this awesome opportunity today, and thank you for this awesome body of people. And we thank you, Father, today that whenever they just, we just thank you. Just thank you. The word says, Father, that you will never leave us nor forsake us, that we are the head and not the tail, that we are above only and not beneath. We are blessed when we go in, blessed when we go out, blessed in the city, blessed in the field. No weapon formed against us shall prosper, and any tongue that rises up in judgment we shall condemn. Our youth is renewed every morning like the eagles, and no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And we walk every single day in divine health. And our children are blessed of the Lord, for they are like a tree planted beside a river that gives off its fruit in due season. And Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ for your word. We thank you, Father, that we didn't say it, we didn't make it up. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And Father, we thank you from this day forth that we just set that. No pressure, no condemnation, but we just set our hearts on your word. And daily, as we renew our mind and what we have and what we can do through you, that Father, no pressure, we rest in you, knowing that it's complete and we are complete in you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to release you now. Do you remember the water? Do I have to pray for that water? Do I have to ask God for that water? Do I have to sort of tear heaven apart and beat myself, squealing, do I make myself hoarse to get the water? Do I doubt and draw back about the water? Why? Because I've already got it. And nothing's ever going to take it away. I can enjoy the water, I can give the water away. We have got every single thing that we need. We're not waiting on God anymore, he's waiting on us. But Satan will spin his lies, spin his deceit, tell you that you're not worthy. You are the apple of God's eye. And there's no glory, it's the glory that's revealed in us. Wow, my goodness. His goodness, not my goodness. Because I'm not good without him. Have a brilliant day, folks, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that he will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on